Greetings and salutations. Welcome to NWR Newscast, big episode 20 after a three-week hiatus due to that, you know, that thing that happened. I've already forgotten about it.
The landmine that lands in Los Angeles and a bunch of people go to.
Oh, the Kinect show.
Yeah, the Kinect show. Screw that noise. With me on the newscast this week, I have Zach Miller and Neil Ronahan. What's up, guys?
Not much. I want to propose of calling this the NWR Kinect Cast from now on.
Yep. How about the Movecast?
The Movecast, it's pretty much the same shit that we already do, just with shinier graphics.
You have to stand up when you're listening to this podcast.
Well, yeah, for the Kinect Cast, I guess we'd have to do this without a computer or a headset. We just have
That's true.
Hope that the system reads what we're doing.
Audacity, record.
Yes.
Xbox, the big news for the newscast this week is that you're meant to actually listen to the show while dancing around like an idiot in front of your television.
Yes.
Yep. And the podcast will take care of itself, I promise. Although you can't be sitting down while you're listening to it.
And there will be an enormous lag.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, I guess before... I'm gonna hijack this now because I was the only member of the crew to go to E3, and we're gonna talk about E3 to start the show, but we're gonna do it a little differently, I guess. But first, what the hell did you guys even think about Kinect and all the hoopla that surrounded it? Just out of curiosity.
I just don't care at all.
All right.
I don't care at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think the menu navigation is cool, but you know what? I'm not gonna pay $150 to be able to scroll through things with my hand.
Yeah, and I don't really see the point in rewinding by holding up my hand and slowly dragging it back. I'd rather just use a fucking button.
Exactly.
See, like, to me, and I think this is probably an unpopular opinion on a Nintendo, you know, fan site and for a staff writer at a fan site, no less. I'm not personally of the belief that motion control has done a whole hell of a lot to add to gameplay over the past 4 years.
I mean, I just
don't think it has.
Like, I would say, like, as far as sports stuff, like, you know, with Tiger Woods, with even Wii Sports, like, I think it's added a lot in that regard. Like, I don't think I'd ever
give a game shit about it. Built from the ground up to work with motion control, and it's done extremely well, it can be a lot of fun. But the problem is, like...
Metroid Prime games.
Metroid Prime is actually a really good example of a game that is done well. You know, Boom Blocks is another one that was done well. And, of course, you know, Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort are both done well, but... I personally, and I know Mario Galaxy is a fantastic game from top to bottom, but I think it's kind of inexcusable that what's 4.5 years into the Wii's lifespan and we're still mapping the press of a button to shake remote. Because I think that's completely distracting, for one, from the gameplay. It takes me out of the gameplay when I'm, like, shaking the remote to you know, break a block or kill an enemy. It's not immersive to me at all, and so many Wii games do that. And I know that that's not what Kinect and Move are proposing to do. They say they're going to, you know, do it right or whatever, but I just don't really believe... I think the Wii has been successful for a lot of reasons, but I don't think it's been successful because it took motion control and made it into a revolution in motion control design.
Is just part of it. Like,
yeah, motion control is
like,
part of
it's,
it.
It's
absolutely
kind
it
of. I mean, now we'll actually talk about Nintendo now. But like Reggie was saying in the press conference, or kind of the general attitude from Nintendo is what you could tell from the showing, is that it's not all about the Wii insert bullshit name here. Like, I mean, they have Wii Party, but that's just like an example of a bridge title. And it seems like at this point, those bridge titles are kind of fading away, and they're giving you, you know, the real games like
the
Kirby's, the Donkey Kong games, you know, Metroid, Zelda. And I feel like a lot of these, you know, Wii Sports Resort, Wii Play, Wii Fit, that was all a build-up to introduce a new group of people to, you know, Nintendo and Wii and everything, and then get them to move on into being, you know, heavier gamers. It's also what Nintendo talked about last year during their press conference, with the whole thing of having people that have never played games, people that sometimes play games, and people that always play games. And they want to get those sometimes people to play more, and those people that never play to try to play more or play at all.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm fairly certain that if you asked Sony and Microsoft, they would tell you that the rationale behind Kinect and Move is to try to, you know, bring new experiences to those consoles. But I would tell you that the rationale behind Kinect and Move is the gap on the line graph between Wii sales and PS3 sales.
Yeah.
I mean, they are trying to capitalize on the success of the Wii, and they are doing it wrong. they're not going to have a Wii kind of success by adding motion control, because the motion control in and of itself is not what made the Wii into the success it is. It was the marketing, it was the branding, it was just the way the console was presented from day one. And it was also because at the time it came out, it was a relatively unique idea. None of those things are really present for Kinect and Move. Maybe they'll target the Oprah audience, but it's been done already. It's not new anymore.
Yeah.
Right. It's 4 years too late.
And also, if you think about it, Nintendo, you know, when they released Wii, what did it come with? Wii Sports and a Wii Remote. At this point, you buy a 360. I assume they'll have a Kinect bundle at the end of the year, same with Move. But even still, you have all these people that already have these systems, and if they don't buy into Kinect or Move, then you're losing a whole group of whole big part of your audience. Because
To me, at this point, Microsoft and Sony are just alienating their audience. They're just gonna split it because, you know, what? Are they gonna make Halo require Kinect? Well, if so, then they're gonna piss off their audience.
The reason Wii Sports is
successful is because it required motion control. It was built from the ground up for it. You couldn't play the game without it. They replaced their controller with the Wii Remote. Microsoft's not replacing its controller, and neither is Sony. They're supplementing it. And you know what happens when you supplement your controller, your system with a new controller? You end up with the Power Glove, or the Power Pad, or any other number of peripherals that don't get...
An example that is a little more relevant is Sega Genesis with the 32X and the Sega CD. Yeah. All that extra crap that basically segmented the user base even more until they released Saturn when E3 hit. And guess what? 360 released a new 360 the day that they were had their press conference. So, wow.
And it costs as much as the old one. That is bullshit.
Yeah.
This may end up being my personal version of saying you can walk into a store on launch day and pick up a Wii. I'm saying right here and right now that Natal and Move will be afterthoughts next year. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Kinect and Move. They'll be afterthoughts a year after launch. I'm saying it right here, right now. I'll stand by that until I'm proven wrong, I guess.
Yeah. Move has the same kind of, like, shooter game potential that the Wii Remote does, but I don't see it being used.
But do PlayStation owners want it? Do PlayStation owners really want it?
Like that's I was saying before, I'd like to play Resident Evil 5 on it. I won't be able to, but I'd like to. But, like, the vast majority of games, like, you wouldn't play Ratchet and Clank on a Move.
No, yeah. I mean...
I mean, like, that's the thing, is that there's no compelling games on either platform. I'm not even going to say system. Like, Kinect, like, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, going to all my press conference, it's like, yeah, like, Kinectables, no. Kinect Adventures, okay, maybe that would be fun once. Like, Kinect Sports, sorry, played that 4 years ago. Like,
yeah, that's what made me laugh about it. Both
it's a lot of been there, done that.
A lot of Wii games.
Yeah, I couldn't be less interested. But that said, Kinect, I have no interest in. It would take a miracle to get me to, especially at the current rumored price point. I'm not even sure if it's really
$150. No effing way.
I think even Microsoft Store isn't priced that high. But like. I could be interested in buying a Move if they put out a really compelling gameplay on it, but it would take a miracle.
Apparently, Kinect is that $150 is a placeholder, so I would take that to mean that $150 is the highest it will be.
At this point, I'd almost be surprised if it was $150 just because of all the negative press surrounding that price point.
You know, the crazy thing about the Move is the Move costs $50, the sub controller costs $30, and then the camera costs $40 or $50.
Yeah.
No, that's a failure waiting to happen. It absolutely,
it's
a failure
just too many
to
pieces. But let's move on to Nintendo stuff,
and we'll start off by
talking about the really really cool piece of hardware that was released at E3 that I really haven't heard anything negative about, and that's the 3DS. Which, I mean, as we all know, you know, it's a 3D screen. It's a widescreen screen at the top. And it's presented in 3D without glasses or anything. There's a depth slider so you can, you know, tweak the level of 3D and even turn the 3D off if you're so inclined. There's a analog stick that is called the slide pad, which, I mean, it's kind of hard to describe. I guess slide pad kind of explains it pretty well, in that it's like an analog nub that you, like, kind of set your thumb in and you can just move it around very easily.
Is it better than the PSP's one?
Yeah, way better.
Good.
I know we kind of had a debate at it with the people at E3 about, like, I think some games work with it better than others. Like, I know we were complaining about Star Fox 64, But I think a good deal of that was, or Star Fox 64 3D. I think the reason why we were all kind of complaining about that is because we were used to playing it on the N64, so it was just a little different. But, like, Samurai Warriors 3D, which was shown there, I played that, and, I mean, that felt really good. It felt like an analog stick. It felt
natural. It's also, you know, it's not like any of these games are anywhere near completion.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Or at least what was shown was definitely, I mean, they might be farther along now, but what was shown is still very early.
Yeah, it's a day one purchase for me. Day one.
Small sections.
Of the games that you played, Neil, what was the one that impressed you the most?
Well, I'll break this up into, I guess, three categories. There's the actual ones that were playable, and for that, it would be the tech demo for target shooting, which I don't know if either of you guys heard this explained, but basically...
It makes a 3D model on a table or whatever.
Yeah, it's like... They had all these tables where they had all the demos, and on a couple of them, for these target shooting demos, there would be, like, the question mark block. And you would just point the camera on that, have to be a certain distance away, and then it would create a 3D environment around it, and then you'd have to, like, basically move the system around to shoot targets. And that's even that, awesome. It would be, like, it would basically, like, it would alter reality. So you would be, like, going into the table, more or less, to try to shoot targets down. And then at the end, a dragon appeared, and you had to basically tilt around the dragon, which, you know, wasn't there in real life, but was there on the screen.
That's insane.
It was just that's like, cool. it was a trip. But, and then as, there was another cool tech demo of Face Ace, which was kind of like the idea of System Flaw, which, I don't know if you guys know about that at all, but that was the DSi game
that
used the camera as kind of like a shooter game. But this one, it took a picture of your face, and then mapped it into 3D, and then you would shoot your face. And then, if there were other people that had recently played the game, their faces would come up as well.
That's some fourth wall shit right there.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering if the 3D camera actually was functional on the demo units they had.
Yeah, because they have it's the two camera lenses on the front.
Right.
Or, yeah, on the outside of the system, and there was actually a demo there for the 3D camera. That you could take pictures and check it out, and it was pretty cool. I mean, it's definitely just that layer of depth, which is prevalent in every game or video shown there. It's just like, it brings you into the game more. As cheesy as that sounds, but that's really what it does. Like, I'm sitting there watching a minute-long video for the Resident Evil game, and I don't give a shit that I don't know what's going on. It looks really cool. Or even, like, I mean, definitely the best video there was the Metal Gear Solid 3D video. Because, like, that was long, it was well-produced, it looked beautiful, and, I mean, you could see the depth. Everything looked awesome, and it really brings you into the game more. I feel like a broken record saying that, but that's really... it's hard to put into words and try to describe it to people who haven't seen it.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I was really happy to hear that pretty much everyone had a positive reaction to the actual 3D effect, because... I really had my doubts that they'd be able to pull off a convincing 3D effect, but it sounds like they've done exactly that.
Yep. And I guess just one last note. I mean, as far as the actual games that were there, they showed off Pilot Wings Resort, which was really sharp as well. And the Star Fox 64 one looked pretty good too, although the graphics definitely do look a little dated, but apparently they're going to update them a little bit.
Good.
But yeah.
Good.
3DS is incredible. I can't wait. So I guess let's get down to the prediction section of this. So when do you guys think this will come out, and how much do you think it will be?
I'm thinking right now it's probably a March 2011 release at $200.
Zach?
I think holiday is too soon. So although they don't really have any big holiday things right now.
So, well, I mean, holiday-wise, I mean, they got Kirby, they got Donkey Kong Country...
Yeah,
they
but for
Wii
a
Party.
Christmas thing, come on. You know,
those are right now. Those are the games that are holiday. Golden Sun's also a holiday game.
Yeah, Golden
there
Sun.
There is no big singular title, which is weird. And I think they wanted Zelda to be that.
That's why I can see the 3DS maybe launching around Christmas, because that's when everyone's going to friggin' buy it.
Well, I think, I mean, this is my prediction, both when I would like it to come out and what I could actually see happening is... That Sunday before Thanksgiving, which is traditionally, I mean, that's when Wii came out, that's when DS came out.
Wasn't that when GameCube came out? Or was it, no, that was a little earlier, wasn't it?
Maybe. I don't remember exactly. That was almost 10 years ago. I was
there,
like,
day one.
Then.
That was the very first system I ever bought on launch day. It was a...
Hey, me too. And then
I was really hungover.
I got GameCube for Christmas that year, but I did spend a lot of time with a friend of mine who got it on launch day, and it was glorious.
Well, I think it'll launch at Christmas, and I think it'll be $200.
I'm saying $200, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's like $230 and comes bundled with something.
That could be.
No, I think it'll be $200, but it'll come bundled with like, or installed on there will be like a bunch of demos.
Yeah,
some tech demos.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like I think $200 or like $220 would be.
I don't think there'll be an enormous launch library.
Yeah, I have a feeling Star Fox would probably be a launch game, most definitely.
Kid Icarus, I think, launch game.
Kid Icarus? Yeah, I mean, it's been in the works for a while. The video that they showed didn't really show any gameplay at all. I mean, it was just a video. It looked really good. But I don't know how far along that is. And I know, I was just looking at all the crap that Sakurai said around E3, and nothing really gives you a hint as to, like, when is this going to be done? Is it going to be a launch game?
Starting to wonder what the ratio is going to be of remakes versus original titles for this thing.
It's worrisome, in all honesty.
Seems like there was a lot of remakes. Like, and I was actually just thinking as you were talking about maybe they'll bring like New Super Mario Brothers or Kirby's Canvas Curse, some of the more well-loved DS titles, and remake them for 3D. And then I just realized that I'd much rather see original games like Kirby's Canvas Curse 3D would be awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they have Super Mario 64 3D.
Super
Mario 64 3DS.
The lack of analogs to kill that game.
You could use the thumbpad for that.
Yeah, that would work better.
That was not...
But, well, on that note, like, what kind of games do you guys want to see out of 3DS? Do you think they're... Well, like, what do you think... What genre do you think is full of potential on this system?
Platformers, shooters. Games like Sin and Punishment.
Yeah, so basically Kid Icarus.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what that game looks like. It's like, I mean, apparently like there's going to be flying segments that look straight out of Sin and Punishment or Star Fox, and there's, I think, ground segments where you move like more like third-person action game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 2D Metroid could be very cool on 3DS.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of really cool atmospheric effects with the 3D effect. A lot of cool kind of like rocks in the foreground that you kind of walk and that you walk behind, and some like clouds of gas that are kind of scattered throughout the horizon. They could do a lot of really cool, because that's what Metroid is really all about, except for maybe Other M. It's hard to tell yet. It's about the environment. It's about the area that you're in more than it's about, you know, the action or the Samus or the weapons or whatever.
Yeah.
So they could do a really cool work on a Metroid game, or even a Castlevania game. Same thing, really. It's more about the area you're in than it is about the character that you're playing.
I'm really impressed with how good the graphics look.
Yeah, I think what they said is it's like on par with GameCube, but it'll look on par on GameCube when you look at it on the system, but it's technically not or something like
that. Sure.
I heard like less polys but more effects.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Well, still,
I think first-person shooters would look incredible on this system. Like, I think there's a lot of potential for just immersion with those kind of games. I mean,
well,
just
with
really with
stuff.
Everything on the system, like, immersion, it's there. I mean, that's one of the really cool things about 3D, in my opinion, is that it's like it brings you more into whatever it is, be it, you know, movie or video game.
Hey, Dementium 3D.
That I would probably play that. In all honesty,
I would too.
Despite my lukewarm response to the initial one, it's just I think that first-person shooters would work very well on 3DS, especially atmospheric ones. So maybe a new Metroid Prime game, not Hunters.
Yeah, if the 3DS is actually somewhat comparable to the GameCube, maybe an original Resident Evil game that's built off of the RE4 engine.
Yeah, I know. Resident Evil Revelations is built off of MT Framework, which is what they use for the Big Boy consoles.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, think about how cool RE4 would be on the 3DS. That would be amazing.
I mean, I assume that's what Revelations would be, is like RE4.
Yeah.
Because they would be stupid to make a Resident Evil game not like RE4.
Touchscreen for the aiming, That'd be kick-ass.
I would argue that they've made some pretty stupid decisions in the Resident Evil franchise in the past, so
yeah,
I wouldn't quite call it a given. Yeah.
Pikmin in 3D. That'd be cool.
Oh, God,
yeah, that
yes,
was a rumor
absolutely.
Going into E3 is that Pikmin was going to be on 3DS, but only time will tell.
Oh, let's move on from
let's move on before Andy starts crying about how Miyamoto just cock-teased him again about Pikmin.
He totally did. He's like, oh, Pikmin, that sure is a game. Can't wait to show it to you guys. Maybe next year.
It exists.
Sure thing, guys. Wouldn't want it to get drowned out at this games conference.
Yeah. We picked out three games that we're going to talk about. Two that you've probably heard about a lot, but we're going to talk about them anyway. And a third one that you probably haven't really heard a lot of people talk about. So let's start off with the first one, Kirby's Epic Yarn, which looks absolutely beautiful and has, you know, Kirby and like he's made out of yarn, like he's made out of string, and the environment's so cute. It's made by the guys who made Wario Land Shake It. It just looks like a kick-ass 2D game. Zach, you brought this up, so what do you feel about this game?
I think Kirby's Epic Yarn is a perfect example of the kind of art direction that I like in video games, which is, we know this is a video game, we're going to go all crazy with it. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be realistic. It can go completely the opposite direction, and that trailer looked beautiful. Like, when he was, like, pulling the string to make the landscape scrunch up, or when he unzipped part of the background, that was insane!
Playing the game, I mean, it's the same feeling playing the demo there, is that, like, you're just like, oh, man, I just scrunched up the background, and I just unzipped this. Oh, there's a treasure chest. This is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Can I ask you guys kind of an abstract question about this game? Sort of
surely.
Zoomed out question. Do you think it was really necessary to make this a Kirby game? Why couldn't it have been? I mean, he doesn't use his trademark attack, which is the inhaling of creatures or whatever. Why does this have to be a Kirby game? Why can't this be a new property?
I mean...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I definitely see what you mean, but... From having played the demo, it still feels like a Kirby game. Like, it might be different, but I was playing that, and I felt like I was playing a 2D Kirby game, which
and
is actually
Kirby
funny.
Kirby's always experimented with its visual style. You know, Kirby's Dream Land 3
was kind of
a pastel.
I played that at TYP's house, because I've never really played the Dream Land, or like the Super Nintendo games, because that was a really late one, and
it
I saw it
on
his way. I saw it on his Wii, he had Kirby's Dream Land 3, and I played some of that, and then kind of going from that to playing Epic Yarn, there wasn't a lot of disconnect. Like, different, you know, gameplay, sort of, but, like, I mean, it's just the same feeling, the same vibe.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I kind of feel like there's a lot of talk about how Nintendo doesn't really seem to come up with a whole lot of new intellectual property, but they seem to still deliver on unique gameplay concepts. And Kirby's sort of, I think, perpetually guilty of this. You have Kirby's Canvas Curse, which is completely different than all other Kirby games, and, I mean, I don't think there hasn't been a normal 2D side-scrolling Kirby game since, what, Kirby Crystal Shards?
Kirby,
was that the last?
Squeak Squad on DS.
Okay, I guess I missed that one.
So, like, the last Kirby game. And Superstar Ultra, if you want to count that.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but that was a remake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there hasn't been that many traditional Kirby games lately. Kirby's always mixing it up, so this is not all that new. I kind of wonder if there's a sentiment out there, and maybe there is, maybe there isn't, that they could have put this game out there with a new IP, and it would have been just as well received. And I'm just kind of curious if that, you think that would have been the case.
I feel like, honestly, if they did it like that, this game would have been laughed off the stage. Like, no one would have I think if they had some new, you know, well, I'll relate this to, I was reading a story about how Kirby, when it was originally made, it was called Tinkle Popo. And, it was I forget exactly what the creature looked like, but it was going to be HAL Labs, like, their first self-published game, and then Miyamoto came in and was like, well, fuck that. You guys are turning this into something better. And they came up with Kirby, and it went from there. But, like, I feel like if you had Tinkle Popo on this game, everyone would have been like, well, this is kiddie bullshit. No one would have cared. But because it was Kirby, because it was a character that, you know, a good deal of the gaming press and, the, you know, the people that follow E3, that they all have fond memories of Kirby, but even if they think the gameplay's stale now, that everyone went into that game with kind of this preconceived notion of how it was, and they were pleasantly surprised by how it was.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
I think that a new IP for this game the game would have fell flat. I think having Kirby on it will probably help it sell more and be a more successful game.
You know who I think another character could have, they could have inserted instead of Kirby to this game? Yoshi. I think they could have done kind of a Yoshi's story.
It reminds
kind
me of Yoshi's
thing.
Story in all honesty.
Yoshi's story was kind of going for that vibe.
If you think about it, Kirby controls in this game more like Yoshi than he does Kirby.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
That whip thing, it's almost like Yoshi's tongue. Maybe this was a Yoshi game at one point.
No, I mean, I think I agree with you, Neil. I'm just curious because it just seems like we do see the same franchises over and over again. They haven't really emphasized new IP aside from the Wii Blink franchise, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
But that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next game.
Metroid Other M.
Really?
I know we were talking about this before the show, and everyone seemed to have a general feeling of malaise about this game. Dread. And after having played it, I kind of am right there, but not really in that. It's not that I don't want to play it; it's just that I'm worried. I have enough faith that, after that first hour, which is still really only that's all that's been shown. And yes, it's atmospheric, but it's just like the controls aren't quite there. Like the only cool thing about it that I found, at least controls wise, was the switch from side scrolling to first person. Which I think is awesome, and it works because it gives you that kind of intense feeling of powerlessness when you switch that because you're vulnerable, and it works in the game in that when you go to first person, like you can't move at all.
Oh, I thought you could strafe.
You can no. You can just pivot around. Basically, you're like a gun turret.
All right.
Or at least unless
makes
unless
me
I miss
more
something.
Worried.
But it works. Like, that's really all you can say is I don't think that's a point to worry about. I think the point to worry about is the fact that it's a pain in the ass to control something in 3D space with a D-pad. And, just the way it seems to be set up, at least in the beginning, and I hope that's just the beginning. And, it just seems very bland in the opening sequence.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this game has gotten so much coverage that my hype meter has broken, and honestly, I'm done thinking about it at this point. I'm just ready for it to come out, and I probably won't even play it right away. It's getting a lot of coverage. Most of the coverage is not particularly positive, and maybe part of that is that I'm not ready to lower my expectations for this game, so I just choose to ignore most of the press about it. Maybe that's it. My interest level in this game has just kind of plummeted.
Yeah, blame you.
Which isn't to say I'm not looking forward to it, because I absolutely am, but I'm not interested in thinking
about
it right
now. You can follow, a chain of events on Newscast to where, we exploded with how excited we were for this game at the Media Summit. And now, we're just man, we just got kicked in the crotch. This sucks. But, I mean, I will probably get this game the day it comes out. I'm still excited for it, but I'm just excited
hopefully,
for it with a lot of hesitancy.
Hopefully you'll be able to read my review of it before you have to buy it.
Yeah. Don't worry, Zach. I will try to get you a review copy as early as possible.
I'm scared, though. I'm a little scared to play it now.
I'm interested to see what you think about this game.
But let me ask you this. When you're in the 3D, and this is the thing I'm most worried about, when you're in the 3D environment, first of all, let me say this. It looks like a corridor game. It looks like you're just running around corridors.
I really, in all honesty, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that opening sequence. I mean, just think back to, the beginning of Metroid Prime where you're going on that ship. That's a fucking corridor. There's not really much to explore
there.
Okay,
that's true, yeah.
And that's what this is. The bottle ship is just that opening sequence.
Oh, I thought it was I think it's going to be like Metroid Fusion, though, right? The bottle ship is composed of many different areas.
Okay, then maybe. Yeah, because I know that the brief second section was the biosphere.
Right.
Which it was section one, the biosphere. So maybe that is the case. But even still, I mean, I think those, the later environments from what we've seen in trailers and stuff, I think they're going to be more open. And
okay, so then when you're running around these more open environments, how freaking hard is it to run around with the D-pad?
That's the problem.
Is it something you can get used to, or the whole time are you going to be thinking to yourself, God, I wish I had this nunchuck, which came in the box?
I wish I had answers for you, Zach.
God damn it.
I really wish I did. That's the thing is, I enjoyed what I played, and I wanted to play more, but I had issues with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm worried about if the game's going to be like that for the whole time. Like, I don't want to play that game. If there was a promise that it's like, I mean, and there was something that Sakamoto said that came out of E3 where he's like, this is like, you know, the 2D Metroid game you've been waiting for, or something along those lines. And I mean, if he's saying that, like, okay, the man can't be that much full of shit. He can't be that delusional that he thinks that, you know, the hour that we've played is what we all want.
Well, like, it's pretty clear nobody's telling him no.
Yeah. I mean, and that could be the problem. I mean, we'll definitely see what happens when this game comes out. And I'm really anxious to see how it turns out, because it could be good, or it could turn out to be really bad.
Well, let's not even talk about it anymore. I'm just going to get it depressed.
Yeah. But I'm still eager to check it out, and maybe that 2-month delay will do something to change it, although I think they're pretty dead set on having Wii Remote only.
God willing, something will change.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the last game, which is Batman Brave and the Bold, which is the Way Forward developed game being published by Warner Brothers. That's basically a 2D side-scrolling beat-em-up for Wii and DS, and it's animated beautifully. It looks like it's straight out of the cartoon show or a comic book. So, Andy, you wanted to talk about this. What did you want to talk about it?
Oh, I just kind of was curious if it had, like, the same kind of, like, really gorgeous polish that you saw in, like, Boy in His Blob or...
Yeah. I mean, it's a different style because, you know, Boy in His Blob was going for that kind of Disney feel while this is going for that comic book feel.
I kind of feel like both of them are a little bit Saturday morning cartoon, though.
Yeah, they both are. Like, this definitely, I mean, it literally is. And there's even moments where, like, you can, like, power up or, like, bring in, like, a second, like you have sub-heroes. Like, I don't know if you guys ever played that Sega Genesis X-Men game where you could, like, call in Storm
or
X-Man.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's basically the equivalent of that, is that, like, you have a hero you can call in and it'll be, like, you know, Booster Gold, and you have to, like, shake the Wii Remote. And during that time, you'll see, you know, Booster Gold in this beautiful, like, you know, comic book fucking splash panel, and then it'll come out and rain havoc on everything. But...
Yeah, I mean, I was just curious because, like, you know, Boy and His Blob it's a puzzle game, so there's a lot less repetitive, potentially repetitive gameplay in A Boy and His Blob than there would be in Batman, because Batman's, I would assume, to a certain extent, a beat-em-up.
Yeah, I mean, that was my only...
Right now, it is a beat-em-up. But it looks
that was my worry with it when I was playing the demo, is that it does seem very repetitive. And that, like, you know, it's just kind of romp through, beat the shit out of people. Like, I think there's really only one button to attack.
Oh,
but I think there is a way you can mix it up and do different combos. And, like, you have gadgets you can use. And the second player can come in as, I think, Robin and Guy Gardner, Green Lantern were there. And I think you can also play as the Blue Beetle and a fourth person.
And Hawkman.
Okay, Hawkman's the fourth one. But, I mean, I think it's going to be a beat-em-up through and through, and I think it will have a lot of polish. It just stands to be seen of, will it get repetitive? Which, that's my worry about it. But it does look beautiful. And it seems to have a great sense of humor. Like, I detailed in my impressions that are up on NintendoWorldReport.com about they had a boss fight with Catman, in which, like, he has, like, some ray that turns you into cats. So he'll turn you into a cat, and that's the only way you can attack him, because he's up on a perch, and then you have to jump up as a cat and then claw him in the face.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's just kind of a puzzle element to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, was that a really hard boss fight? No, but it was really cool. And if they can continue doing stuff like that throughout the game, I think it would definitely hold an interest throughout however long it is.
Yeah, I think A Boy and His Blob pretty much just permanently cemented any interest I have in Way Forward games going forward.
Yeah.
Going way forward. Yeah, I really love that game, and if they're going to keep making really nice-looking 2D games, well, count me in for pretty much everything they make. So I guess that's more or less why I was interested, is that I...
Well, not everything. I mean, are you excited for Despicable Me on DS?
I don't really know anything about it. That's a movie. It's a movie game,
right? Yeah, it's made by Way Forward.
Yeah, well,
they gotta
I'm more
pay the
referring
bills somehow.
To... I'm more referring to their Wii games than their DS games.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make some crappy license games for Wii, and I'll step that back.
I don't know. But, I mean, Way Forward is definitely a company that, I mean, I think the first I heard about them was Contra 4. And that was kind of a game that, you know, was like Contra, but it was too fucking hard for me. So,
yeah.
Which, I mean, it's
yeah,
like
I played Contra 4 for a little bit, and
but
I liked it okay. But
what sold me
on
Wii 4,
hard.
Or at least began to sell me, was Lit. I don't know if anyone played that game on WiiWare, but I thought that was just a really cool game. And you can see a lot of, like, the puzzle mechanics in that, like, kind of rear their head in a boy in his blob, or at least you can tell the thought process between them, like, coming together. I mean, they're different, but, like, I mean, they definitely know how to make a good puzzle game or a good 2D game or what have you.
Yeah, they do.
All right, and the last on the news section, which kind of ties into E3, but also predates E3, is all the news on Rock Band 3, which it's going to have keyboards, that's the new addition, and it'll come with a keyboard controller that I believe will retail for $80, and or come bundled with the game for, I believe, $120. And the keyboards, you know, that's a new way to play. You can use the keyboard as a guitar or bass as well, and you can use a guitar or bass, or I guess the guitar controller, to play the keyboards. In addition to that, they're adding the Pro Mode, which basically you can play any song in that game legitimately. There's a literal guitar, a real guitar that will be able to play with strings in that game and basically play the songs how they were originally intended.
That's insane.
On a real instrument. They also have the same thing for keyboards. You can buy a MIDI adapter to pretty much hook up any kind of MIDI keyboard to the game to play it. You can also do that with drum kits. I believe there will be a pro drum set being released as well. Another pro guitar with buttons on every fret instead of strings. Yeah, it's going to be redonkulous. I can't wait. They're also doing some other cool stuff with like the song select, because there's going to be so many damn songs, you can like sort them differently. So if you want to play, like, you know, a song from the 70s that's really long, or if you want to exclude long songs from a random, like just a random party shuffle is what they're adding as well, where you can just, you know, basically come up with a playlist and just hit shuffle and go through that for as long as you want. It looks like they're really just amping up everything. This is a true, excellent third entry for Rock Band, and I personally can't wait to get my interest in the game up after loving it when Rock Band 2 came out, and it's been kind of waning slowly ever since.
Nice. I'm not sure I'm ready to drop $80 on the keyboard.
I don't know if I'm
going to
be getting the keyboard day one. I don't know if I'll get the keyboard at all. I might get the converter, because I know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's actually, you know, is very musically inclined, and he's like, oh, I'll just use my keyboard. So to buy, like, I think it's like $30 or $40 for the MIDI adapter.
Yeah.
I could see myself
yeah.
doing that and getting an actual keyboard. Or I might have one lying around somewhere. I don't know what kind of state it's in, though. But
sure.
Yeah.
No, I'm certainly interested in the game. I mean, I've loved all of the Rock Band games so far, except for the Green Day one, which doesn't count, I guess.
If you don't like Green Day, then it doesn't count. It's not a,
yeah.
It's a fundamentally sound game, but if you don't give a shit about Green Day, you're not going to give a shit about that game.
Right.
It's just if you don't give a shit about the Beatles, you're not going to give a shit about the Beatles Rock Band, but you can't deny that it's a well-made game.
I'm sort of torn on what I think about Rock Band 3 from what I've read. On one hand, I really do like what they're trying to do with the Pro Mode. I think it's a really cool idea. And I have a lot of respect for that idea. However, it's not necessarily one that appeals to me. I can already make Rock Band really hard. I don't know that I want Rock Band to be, like, significantly harder. That's not what I enjoy about the game. I enjoy more the feeling of rocking out, less than the feeling of being, you know,
learning
extremely challenged. Yeah, like, I already know how to read music. I don't play a rock instrument. I know how to play, like, my high school band clarinet. But, like, yeah, I just don't know that I'm really all that interested in trying to learn how to play these songs for real. But by the same token, I really like the idea behind it. Like,
I like that
Rock Band 3 is a sequel to Rock Band 2 and not just Rock Band 2 with a couple of new modes. Or Rock Band 2 with a new UI. Like, it really is a sequel. Harmonix, you know, call out the bullshit of LEGO Rock Band and Green Day Rock Band all you want, but for what it's worth, Harmonix doesn't put out Rock Band sequels without meaning it. Rock Band 2 added new things. Well, kind of.
Rock Band 2 was basically an excellent refinement on Rock Band
1. Right. But Rock Band 3 is not an excellent refinement on Rock Band 2. It is a new game.
Yeah.
And with the Rock Band Network, I guess if I was to really, like, pick a direction for Rock Band to go to, it's just that I would like to see more of the kind of music that I like as playable songs in Rock Band. And Rock Band Network is making that happen.
Yeah.
So they already are doing the things that I would kind of like, and I don't need Rock Band 3 to enjoy it. So I'm not sure really if my interest level is all that high for this game. Although, like I said, I appreciate the direction they're moving. I'm just not sure it's for me.
Yeah, I mean, I love all the, just basically all the refinements that they're making along with the leap to promo and keyboards, and I'm very excited for this game, and especially if more songs in the set list are in line with, like, you know, the stuff like Bohemian Rhapsody, or
oh,
stuff
that sounds
from the
awesome.
Crooked Vultures, or Break On Through by The Doors. Like, I mean, if there's more stuff in the music on the set list like that, then I will definitely be getting it.
Have all of the Rock Band Network stuff, is that backwards compatible to Rock Band 1? Do you have to have Rock Band 2 to enjoy that?
I'm not sure.
Because I'm kind of curious, if I decide not to go to Rock Band 3, if there's going to be a point where I can't do all the downloadable content and stuff.
That's how it is in Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero gets it wrong consistently. Rock Band generally doesn't.
I would imagine that the Rock Band Network stuff would be compatible with Rock Band 1, because it's the same. I think it's you update the music store, not necessarily like the game.
Sure. Mm. But yeah, I'm kind of interested. I want to try it out. Pretty sure I'm not going to be spending $80 on a new controller. I still have my original Rock Band 1 instruments. They're doing fine, although I wouldn't mind upgrading to some wireless guitars.
Yeah, I think I might actually, if I do get this, I might have to replace my guitars, because they've seen better days.
Definitely.
They've got a lot of love, but they've seen better days. I might have to drop
I just kind of wonder if, like, if the music genre has fallen so far that Rock Band 3 might have trouble succeeding where Rock Band 2 didn't. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the music genre is not the powerhouse it was, you know, back in, what, 08, 09?
Yeah.
It's not what it once was. And a substantially expensive sequel may be a harder sell now than it was when Rock Band 2 came out.
I mean, but the thing with that is that they're still going to be selling, like, you could still theoretically just get the game without getting the keyboard, without getting any of the pro instruments.
Absolutely.
And you would still have a brand new skin, you know, with 83 new songs. Like, I mean, that's still a worthwhile purchase for $60.
Absolutely,
$50.
It is. Have they announced whether or not the Wii version will contain the same functionality in terms of exporting songs that the 360 version has?
Oh, that's actually, that would be, because
it didn't. Rock Band 2 didn't have that, but Rock
that
Band 3, I would like to
question.
See that. Yeah.
And maybe we'll have to find an answer to that.
Stay tuned, gentle listeners. We will respond next.
And that's pretty much going to close out what we had to talk about for E3. And I guess to end it, what are you guys' general feelings on E3 and Nintendo showing and third-party showing and everything?
It was exactly what I wanted, to be honest.
From
Nintendo. I mean, as a fan of Nintendo, this is what I wanted. I wanted them to put out games. I wanted to stop seeing them trying to demo interesting peripherals. I wanted to stop seeing them trying to talk about their demographic. I wanted to see them come out and announce a whole bunch of new games, and they did exactly that. I believe the Penny Arcade for this week summed it up pretty
successfully.
I'm going to assume anyone listening to this has already seen that. Because it's awesome, and if you haven't seen it, just Google
Penny Arcade. That Penny Arcade hit the nail on the head for all three companies.
It did. Oh, and that drawing of Reggie was racist.
As I said earlier, I don't give a shit about Move or Kinect. So Sony kind of pissed me off because they didn't show Last Guardian or Ego HD. But aside from that, I was more or less happy with pretty much everything at the show.
Cool. How about you, Zach?
I thought Nintendo had a wonderful show. I thought Sony and Microsoft kind of blew it. I mean, they both really blew it. Especially Microsoft. I don't even think they know what they're doing anymore.
It's Kinect, man. It's the future of gaming.
There
you
go.
You don't need to do shit. You just gotta jump around.
Yeah, that's what I want to do when I game. I want to exert myself. But I was disappointed by the fact that there was no Beyond Good and Evil and no mention of Shantae, either one. And Ubisoft didn't even really support the Wii this year.
They had Shaun White Skateboarding. That was only Wii game at their booth.
And then they've got, like, we have laser tag now. And I thought, what?
That was
sadly,
so bizarre.
Sadly, Paddle Tag was not playable at E3.
damn. But yeah, I thought Nintendo had a great show, and I'm super excited about so many of their games.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the 3DS, my gosh.
Holy shit, 3DS.
This is probably their best showing since they demoed the Wii, I would say.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, because yeah, the Wii one, the Wii one also had Twilight Princess. Those were huge.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to what you're reviewing, and I will hand it back to Andy, and he can take over the rest of the show.
Thank you, Sir Ronahan. Yeah, what you're reviewing? I am going to start because I don't have nothing to talk about. I haven't gotten a review copy in for a while. I will be reviewing Tetris Party Deluxe for DS fairly shortly. I should be getting that in here within the next week or so.
And Puzzle Quest 2.
And also Puzzle Quest 2 for the DS. But I don't have either of those in my hands yet, so I can't talk too much about them. I will say that I'm not reviewing it, but I got an awesome new PlayStation 3 video game entertainment console.
Hell yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, and I've already I played through Uncharted, and it's really cool. And I am now playing 3D Dot Heroes, Game Heroes. It's very cool. I don't have much to say about it other than I am finally happy to be a platform agnostic gamer.
Yes.
I don't care what platform it comes out on, just give me good games. I'm finally there. But I'm not going to talk about that too much. So let's go ahead and pass it off to Zach. What you got for us, Zach?
I have Mega Man Zero Collection, which is a DS game, and it collects four emulated Mega Man Zero games from the Game Boy Advance. And have either of you played a Mega Man Zero game?
No, but I've been kind of tempted by this collection, so I'm interested to hear what you say about it.
Well, let me...
I played the first little bit of Mega Man Zero, the first one. Found it to be incredibly difficult.
Yes, it is.
Like, more so than, I would say probably harder than any of the Mega Man games that I've played.
Oh, it is. Oh, I agree. As you both know, I'm a Mega Man fan, and I've beaten all of them except for 9, which is my secret shame. and then the last two Mega Man X games, because I've never played those two, the 7 and 8. But, so I consider myself kind of used to it, the difficulty. But Mega Man Zero One kicked my ass up and down.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Not only is it really hard, but they don't give you enemies don't drop extra lives. You only have so many extra lives. And if you die, you just fail the mission. You have to go right back to the beginning of the level.
Ooh.
So the better thing to do is, instead of wasting a life, just restart your save. So that you don't waste a life, even though, because you only have like four. You only have four lives when you start. And the only way to get extra lives is to find them hidden in, there's like one per stage.
Wow.
Zero starts out so underpowered. It's ridiculous. You have to level up his weapons through usage. And you find new, elemental powers through beating bosses with a good rating. So, it's got kind of that Capcom thing where, like, you beat a level and you get rated. And if you don't do well enough, boy, you're screwed. I didn't even beat the first game because I was like, this is freaking difficult. So,
do they get easier as you go along?
No. The second one's just as hard. Although it's a little more forgiving with lives. You don't fail the mission right away. You just start where you kind of close to where you died. There are checkpoints, is what I should say. But here's what's nice about the Mega Man Zero Collection. It includes an easy mode, which is still hard. but what it does is it strings all four games together, so you just play them all in order instead of picking one, which you could otherwise do if you wanted to. But it strings all four of them together, and when you start each game, you start with all of his shit. But what's unfortunate is that easy mode, kind of because you're being nerfed, you don't get to use the best cyber elves. And cyber elves kind of give you little bonuses, like you don't take as much damage, or bosses are a little bit crippled, things like that. Or enemies drop more health restoring items, but you don't get to use the best ones if you're using easy mode, which is fine because you can otherwise be fine. But the game is still really hard on easy mode, not necessarily from the enemies, but just the level design. So, you know, if you like really masochistic kind of platformers, then this might be your kind of thing.
I'm glad to know it wasn't just me.
No, they're tough. I've never liked the art direction in the Mega Man Zero games. It's way too anime for me.
Yeah.
Although the boss monsters look pretty cool. But, you know, if you like Mega Man games and you aren't satisfied with the difficulty offered by, like, Mega Man X2, feel free to get this and, you know, have fun with it. But I actually do enjoy the game on easy mode. It's fun. I just don't like it normally.
I'm glad you're playing this and not me, because I would probably have, like, thrown the cartridge at the wall as hard as I could by now. So, yeah, my experience with the first game was just that it was... You know, and I'm a guy who's beaten pretty much all the NES Mega Mans. Yep. I haven't beaten 9 or 10, but only because I just haven't, not because I can't. You know, I'll just believe that, I suppose. But yeah, like, I think it took me about 20 or 30 tries to get past, like, the boss in the very first mission of Mega Man Zero.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
so
ridiculous.
So better you than me, sir. Better you than me.
One more thing I want to say is that because it's a Game Boy Advance port, and James touched on this in RFN, it only uses two buttons, like A and B. So even though Zero has sub-weapons, you can't just use X to use a sub-weapon. You have to go into the menu, select which sub-weapon you want, move out of the sub-menu, and then press R to use the sub-weapon when you press B. And that's kind of lame.
My guess is they carefully weighed the potential sales of this game versus the effort it would take to actually port the game and not just emulate it.
I'm sure that's
And they decided true. they probably wouldn't make enough money to make porting it worth it, which is unfortunate because that does kind of suck.
Yeah. It's still playable. It's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to Neil. What you got for us, Neil?
I guess I'll talk about Tiger Woods, because Zach should be getting that as well, and we're going to be doing one of our famous double reviews.
I'm excited.
Which we've done at least once, maybe twice. Oh, yeah, we've done two. We've done Pokemon, and we did the Transformers game last year.
Right, that's right.
But the Tiger Woods game this year, it's pretty much the same crap that was last year, except for they fine-tuned the Motion Plus controls. So instead of just measuring like how you tilt your wrists, it also measures the follow-through. Which means that basically it's, you know, more realistic now this time. And they also add in a new camera mode, True View, where it'll show you like a top down, like as if you are the golfer looking down at your club.
Oh, that's
which,
cool.
I mean, it's pretty
that's
cool, though.
Neat.
The thing that kind of weirds me out about that is I feel like in order to properly use it, I need to place my television on the ground. But, I mean, other than that, like, I like the True View a lot. Although, in some cases, like, I kind of just want to play how I'm used to playing it, which is in the third person with that
right.
The third person view of it.
And with the Wii Motion Plus, does it mean you can't really toolbox it anymore with the swing?
No, not at all. Although, I think with the old controls you very much could, is because I got into the habit of pretty much as long as you just move, if you kept your wrists together and just went straight through, you could very easily toolbox last year's game, but now with the added follow through, you kind of have to do it more like a real golf swing.
Damn.
But, I mean, as far as, like, a replica of the game of golf, it does a very good job, and I'm a fan of how it works, and I guess the only thing that I have to say negatively about it is that the career mode still kind of bothers me, because, like, it starts you off very shittily, and you're going up against these, you know, good golfers, and there is no kind of, like, learning curve in the career mode. It just kind of throws you in there. And you're in tournaments and everything, which is good.
Mm.
And I think they correct that a little bit by just making the whole, like, you level up now as opposed to just, like, having to, you know, spend money to upgrade your stats and, you know, buy clothing and clubs to boost up your stats as well. Now the stats are pretty much, it's like you level up and you get a stat point.
Oh, that's interesting.
But,
so there's no point at which you are, like, a god?
If you level up very high.
Okay.
But it seems like, I mean, I definitely, by the time you get to the end of the career mode, I imagine you could. They also added the Ryder Cup, which is that thing that it's Americans versus the English. I haven't nice. Really tested out. And that's why Tiger Woods shares the cover with some other guy. I don't know his name.
I think it's because Tiger Woods has had some bad press.
No. It's because of the Ryder Cup.
All right.
That's what EA Sports PR told me. It has nothing to do with Tiger Woods' transgressions. It's because of the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
In 2 years, it'll be EA Sports Ryder Cup 2013.
But
17 hookers later.
Yeah. And I guess to finish off what they added to this, they also added mini golf.
So excited.
Which the mini golf is actually really cool. I only played the NASCAR course that they have in it. I think.
Oh my God! There's more than one course.
There are four courses of 18 holes, and it's really cool because it's like, I mean, it's the gimmicky crap that you see in mini golf, but I mean it controls the same way as Tiger Woods does. So I mean, you got this really refined golfing engine working in mini golf, and it's a lot of fun.
Can you walk around the green before you take your shot?
No, you can't. That would be super realistic, though.
Can you at least see where the ball is supposed to end up?
Kind of. It'll give you like a direction of where you will be hitting it. But what else did they add? The online mode, you can play Ryder Cup online. You can also play disc golf from last year online. And I believe the disc golf mode
from last year was awesome.
They added five new courses.
Wow.
So
I had Tiger Woods 10 for a little bit. I don't own it anymore. I ended up selling it. But what I found was that I really, really enjoyed the disc golf and really, really suck at regular golf. Wii Motion Plus basically, I think, took away my ability to play a golf video game. I mean, I could have used the older controls, but
they do have a lot of assists in there, which kind of makes it better.
I wanted to try to learn and failed to try to learn.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like I think I love Tiger Woods 10. At least it grew on me a lot. I think I gave it like an 8.5. I did have, like, the controls I don't think were perfect, but I really enjoyed it. And I think that's kind of the same thing this year, is that they're refining it. And even though it controls really well, as far as replicating a golf swing, I still don't think they're there yet. But, like, it's really good.
I got to tell you, I had Tiger Woods, I think, 2005 on the GameCube. And I probably spent more time playing that game than any other game on the system. I got into that game. I can see myself getting into this one.
I think I've spent more time on Tiger Woods for iPhone than I spent on any other iPhone game. So I totally understand that.
Yeah. But it was funny. I was looking at like my Wii records and I had no idea, but like I think it was Madden 08 or Madden 09 were like really high up on the list, and that's just because I will sit down and play Madden and forget what time it is. Like that's one of those games that does it to me. It's just sports games I can get really into. I mean, it's the same thing with like the MLB The Show games.
And those are really perfect kind of games. Like if they simplify the controls a bit, like maybe not for Madden with my friends, but with like Tiger Woods, I could see myself getting like three friends over here and we just playing all day.
Well, I mean, I got at one point it was my sister, my dad, and I were playing, or and my mom played too, and I got, you know, Lauren and my dad to play it sometimes. I know I got my brother loves golf, never really tried playing a golf video game. And he is away, so for his birthday, I ended up getting him Tiger Woods, and he loved it. He still loves it, and he's probably getting the new one too.
Hell yeah!
Very good.
I look forward to losing to you online, sir.
I don't know. I'm not really that good. Like, I played a lot last year, but that was last year. Like, I'm playing this now. I'm like, wow, I suck now. But it's a lot of fun. I'm definitely excited to play more into it or play more of it and get through that career mode.
Hell yeah.
And play disc golf. That's the one thing I haven't tried on the new one yet, but I really liked disc golf last year.
Is the disc throwing better than it is in Wii Sports Resort? I'm not saying it's bad in Wii Sports
Resort. It's different, but it has a big trump card over Wii Sports Resort in the fact that it's real golf courses as opposed to the gimmicky bullshit that's on Wii Sports Resort.
But there's no little dog.
In Wii Sports Resort, you had to just get it in the vague vicinity of the target.
Yeah, this one you actually have to get it in the.
You have to get it into the basket.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I wondered how they do that. That's good. Because you could easily throw a hole in one like consistently in Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah. Disc golf in this is like more like real golf, or more like real disc golf.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all I have to say. I also, as far as reviews goes, I got Kid Adventure Sky Captain in for review, which I don't think is that long, but if you read my impressions a while back, I'm actually mildly excited to play it. It's kind of like Pilot Wings. So we have a nice little, I'll pimp an article that I did, which is a developer special on Taurus Games, which was, they made Kid Adventure Sky Captain, and it's kind of a neat little story as to how they made it. It's actually their first game that they developed from the beginning as opposed to working on licensed properties.
Now, before we move on, I just really quickly, Neil, want to know how you like Trauma Team.
Trauma Team? My review should be launching, or should be releasing any day now with the launch of something cool. But I love Trauma Team. It's fantastic. It's six games in one. Like,
nice. Full games.
It's really good.
Full
I know, Andy, you got that. Have you played much of it?
No, I haven't. I played maybe about 15, 20 minutes of it is about it. Yeah. I played like the first two to three missions on like one or two of the types. It took me a little bit of time to figure out exactly how the progression of the game works, because it looks like all of the storylines kind of go together, but they start at different points in the chronology, which took a little bit of time for me to kind of work out how that was put together.
I highly recommend just doing it the way that the story actually flows, if you can figure out how it works.
So just kind of like play each step of the chronology across all of the modes and then move on to the next step.
Some of them will like end earlier than others, but it works a lot better because you're not doing the same thing twice in a row.
Okay.
It'll be like, okay, you go through this lengthy like forensic scene and then you're going to go do some endoscopy. Like, it really keeps up the flow of the game, and it, you know, I got sucked into that game very easily because I'd finish up one and be like, oh, I'll just play this one, and at the end of that, oh, I'll just play that one. And I mean, it's over a 20-hour game. It's kind of ridiculous in how much game is in there.
I'm really looking for the forward to the price drop, at which point I'll buy it.
It's already only $40, dude. Like, it's totally worth
That's
it.
True, only $40. Yeah. I'm saving my pennies for a really expensive My Shiranui figure.
It was only $10 for me.
Yeah.
What? Oh.
I got three Dark Game Heroes for free.
Oh, from Amazon, yeah.
Amazon's going crazy, yeah.
Amazon
That's what it
is
was.
My buddy.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I was like, hey, Neil, 3D.GameHeroes has dropped to $30. And I was like, he was like, cool. And then I went and looked, and I think I apparently bought the copy of 3D.GameHeroes from Amazon because now they were selling it via buy.com for $10 more.
Yeah, I ended up buying it. It wasn't for $30, but I still got it for free, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I think I still have another $10 or $20 in game credits.
I had $10 or $20, but then I had to buy something for my mom, for my dad for Father's Day, because I have Amazon Prime. And then, so my $10 are now, my mom owes me that $10 and more.
Amazon's been awesome lately.
Yes.
They really, really have.
So many good games I want to get.
Yeah.
Well, shall we go ahead and move on to the downloadable titles? Because we have a lot of them to go through.
Which is rife of bullshit that I don't care about, but we're going to cover it anyway.
We're going to cover it. Let's start with the largest one, which is Virtual Console.
Huge number of games.
That was a very subtle joke. We will start with Virtual Console just so we can get it out of the way. Shadow of the Ninja from Natsumi for the NES was released on Virtual Console. This game, it's like a co-op, slightly shittier than Ninja Gaiden version of Ninja Gaiden. I watched a little bit of YouTube on it. Did you guys play this game?
No, but I did. Actually, in Natsume's book at E3, they actually had the two Virtual Console games they released in the book, which it's either... They really want to get the word out, or Natsume doesn't have anything to show at E3.
They've got nothing to show, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this game looked like it was fairly forgettable. But, you know, if you like Ninja Gaiden and you have a friend who also likes Ninja Gaiden for NES, then maybe this is for you.
I think it's pretty clear that Virtual Console is on its way out.
Yeah, they're making their way for Virtual Console 3DS.
Hell yeah.
Well, I kind of wonder if they have any more big releases in them. Like, it seems like there's still a few games that haven't launched yet, but maybe I'm crazy.
And I mean, it's not like, I mean, like, the releases haven't been terrible, it's just that they're so few and far between. Like, they've had good stuff come out, it's just that, like, you only have two games a month, tops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to WiiWare, where we actually have a few things to talk about, although, God, not much. Probably the biggest release of the month, or I guess it's not really quite a month, it's
almost
3 weeks.
Almost 3 weeks.
The biggest release of the 3 week period is probably Art Style Rotozoa, which, I don't know, I haven't played this yet. Have you guys played this game?
It reminded me a lot of how Flow is, I believe how it
yeah.
works. I haven't gotten to play it yet. I'm kind of backed up with, because I was away for a week, and then E3 and everything. I haven't really caught up on it. I'm way behind on video games. But Rotozoa, I mean, it's basically like you go around as this little organism and you collect other organisms or something like
that. You just absorb them, or alternatively, I think you can attack them depending on which side of yourself you present to the floaty thingy.
Yeah.
The graphics looked pretty cool. Simple, but kind of sharp.
I'm more interested in this than I was Light Tracks.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the same way. It's only 600 points, developed by Skip. Is this also a remake of Bit Generations, or is this original?
I don't think so. I think this is an original title.
Okay. Well, we obviously haven't played it. The video looked kind of cool that I watched, but...
I wish I had a chance to play it. I intend on picking it up, but sadly...
If any of you out there played and liked this game, send us an email at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
Yes.
Which works, I swear. I promise it works. I'm not sure why. We've had some problems with emails being returned back, and I don't know what that's about yet. We haven't been able to replicate the problem on staff. So, anyway, next up we have The Tales of Bearsworth Manor. There's actually two games in this series that came out. Chaotic Conflicts and Puzzling Pages.
Which, they showed these games off at E3. I didn't play them, but what I remember hearing is that you throw paper bears.
Yeah, they're Square Enix titles. I think... Chaotic Conflicts is more of an action game, and I think Puzzling Pages is more of a puzzle game.
Yeah,
I think they're both basically action puzzle games.
Yeah.
But the art style looks kind of interesting. It looks kind of...
If you want to throw paper bears, I mean...
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go?
I mean, it's Square Enix, so there's a little bit of a pedigree behind it, but it didn't look amazing, but it looked better than Zoo Disc Golf, which I'll lead into next, which looks completely awful.
I can't believe it's
1,000 points. I wrote up the article for that week's downloads, and I kind of questioned that. You know, it didn't mention if it used Wii Motion Plus or not. Having now watched the video for this game, I would be shocked if it used Wii Motion Plus. Yeah, it looks like they barely figured out how to make the controller work at all.
To develop this game and release it on WiiWare, like...
Yeah, it looks so bad. They didn't even, like, name the characters. It's just, like, Panda.
Panda. And I like how the panda is sucking its gut in.
Ugh, it looks so bad.
Ostrich. Seal.
Now you're just naming random animals.
Triceratops.
Oh, God. I don't think they have those in zoos yet. Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
next up is Bejeweled 2, which is, surprisingly, the sequel to Bejeweled from PopCap, 1,000 points. I actually just bought this on my iPhone because it has the Bejeweled Blitz Facebook game on it. I'm kind of doubting that the Wii version has any Facebook integration, which is too bad, because Bejeweled Blitz is actually strangely addicting.
Bejeweled Blitz is fucking intense.
Yeah, like, I don't understand it.
That cut down productivity during finals, like, tenfold.
Yeah. I suck at it because I noticed that, like, everyone else on my Facebook contacts list is getting, like, 3 times the score that I am, but...
Yeah, I was proud of the couple times I broke 100,000. That was all I could muster.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, like, if they're going to bring this game out and the other platforms are able to do Facebook integration, how hard could it possibly be to do on Wii? Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
It would be nice, because I would, if it had Facebook integration, and maybe it does, I shouldn't say that it doesn't, I don't know that it does, but I would be surprised.
As far as what
does.
I've seen from trailers and stuff, I don't believe it does.
Yeah.
I believe
if it,
that
did,
it just has,
I might
has
actually
Wii support.
Buy it.
I think that's the only Wii exclusive thing it has.
That's,
and it uses the pointer.
Right. Next up we have Arcade Sports, which is like bowling, pool, snooker, and ice hockey.
I was offered this game, and I turned it down.
If you've ever been in a bowling alley, you've already played all four of those games, and I wouldn't recommend playing them on Wii. It doesn't look all that great. You already have a better version of bowling. And do you really, if you really feel like you need
the best version of bowling came with the fucking system. Right. No one should try to make another bowling game. Like, give it up,
it
guys.
Seems like a really bad idea. Yard Sale Hidden Treasures, Sunnyville is the title of the game from Konami, actually, which is surprising.
It's based off of a PC game.
Really?
Yeah, like it was a PC game, and it got ported to Wii, and it looks like it's just basically like there's a bunch of mini games, and like there's picture finding stuff in it too.
Yeah.
Yay.
500 points. It didn't look particularly enticing, but that's just my opinion. If you like finding hidden treasures in a virtual yard sale, knock yourself out.
Who doesn't?
Next up is... Yeah, who doesn't, exactly. Real Fishing Challenge 2 from Natsume for 500
Which
points.
Which apparently is supposed to be a fantastic fishing game.
Well, good. I think I wrote the write-up for this, and it actually sounded like they did a pretty decent job of bringing... fishing game. I kind of feel like a fishing game is exactly the kind of thing I might spend $5 on and no more.
Because
I've always kind of been curious about why they keep making fishing video games. Maybe I could spend $5 and actually learn why.
Yeah, and I think Real Fishing Challenge, the first one, was also pretty good.
Really? Yeah. Was that also a WiiWare?
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of franchises on WiiWare.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a 2 after the title.
Yeah, there is a 2. I suppose that's there's a lot of WiiWare games that are 2s that are just sequels to Facebook games or iPhone games, really, for that matter. Lead the Meerkats is the next game from Lapland Studios. That's 1,000 points. Did you guys check this game out? I didn't get a chance to check
it
out.
I remember we had an interview with Lapland a long time ago. And I guess this game got cut up in some kind of certification process, but I forget exactly what the game was about.
You lead lemurs.
It sounds like Lemmings. I'm going to go ahead and say it's exactly like Lemmings. Confirmed.
Okay, cool.
I have no idea. Although, why is Lemmings not out on WiiWare? Come on. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know who holds the license for that or like who owns the property.
Psygnosis, is that the name of the old development house? I forget what it was. They had a trippy logo though back. I had it for Genesis, the Lemmings for Genesis.
I think they had I played it on Genesis too.
That was my very first Genesis game actually. I got it with the system on Christmas Day. Not quite the exciting game I was hoping for, but I still loved it.
I got Sonic on Christmas.
And that's actually all the games that are out on WiiWare for the last 3 weeks. Like
Shit,
I said,
really?
Not
that was it?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Let's move on to DSiWare, where we have, not much better. Spin 6 from Nintendo. This one will cost you 500 points. Did either of you guys take a look at this? It looks like it's a puzzle game of some kind.
All right, so I did look at this. It's published by Nintendo. I couldn't find out who developed it, though. But apparently,
there's a lot of those
on
DSiWare.
It looks kind of like a Bejeweled Twist, which came out on DSiWare a while ago, and I think there was a Bejeweled Twist DS retail game, too.
Okay.
And this is different for Bejeweled in that, like, instead of... You're basically, like, turning, like, a square of jewels around instead of just, like, replacing... Like, moving two back and forth. And with this one, it's like you're spinning numbers to line up, I think, the same numbers or equaling... Or I guess maybe you're... Trying to add up to 6. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Apparently the presentation and art style is reminiscent of WarioWare. In that they have a lot of random Snapple Cat facts. So
that's bizarre.
Yeah.
But
it seems
cool,
weird.
I
don't know. I'm curious to find out who developed it. I think this is a game if it was 200 points I'd probably get it, but it's $5, so I probably won't.
Mm-hmm. Next up is Puffins. Let's Fish.
Let's.
From Other Ocean for 500 points. This is actually not the first Puffins Let's Blank game.
Yeah, there was
a
Puffins retail game. I believe it may have been Puffins Adventure. And Other Ocean is actually the guys who made Dark Void Zero.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a great
game. Yeah, this game I know, I watched a video for it. You lead a Puffin around underwater with the stylus, and I think you eat fish.
Oh.
Whoa.
Sounds really...
Puffin-rific.
Hours and really hours of fun.
Exciting.
Seconds and seconds of fun.
I can't wait to go buy a DSi and then buy this game on my
DSi. You know
DSi.
There's 20, or actually, you know there's about 35 DSiWare games that are totally worth your time? I think some guy did a feature on it a while ago.
I don't remember that.
I think I'll just buy a 3DS.
DSiWare better fucking be compatible with that. God damn
it. Won't be. They know it's an issue, but they're not going to do anything with it. What?
Nothing.
Next up, we have Mega Words from Digital Leisure for 500 points. It's a series of word games like Hangman, Word Scramblers, and Anagram Hunt. You probably already have this, just so you know. Just check. Just go onto your DSi and check the list of games you've already purchased. I'm willing to bet you already have this game or one exactly like it. Just take my word for it.
Or just go
it's
online
already on your
and
system.
Search like Anagram Hunt or Hangman.
Yeah. Three of the four links you get will be porn, but the fourth one will be this game exactly. Don't need to pay for it. Moving on, we have
that
Super
happens
Swap.
With so many things I search for.
Oh my god, what's that T-Rex doing to that poor woman?
I think, let's just skip Super Swap.
Okay,
that's a
yeah,
game. It's Bejeweled. From Taeon, it's 500 points. And let's move on to the other one since this is relevant. Legendary Humans, or Legendary Wars T-Rex Rumble. From Interplay for $8 for 800 points. All right,
Zach, tell us about this game.
I watched this at Andy's. Andy told me to watch this. And it's kind of like, I don't know, a little bit like Pikmin, but with cavemen.
Yeah, it's an RTS featuring humans attacking dinos.
Yeah, yeah. And the humans here are attacking dinosaurs. And the only dinosaurs they showed, it's called T-Rex Rumble, and they did briefly show a T-Rex in the last few seconds of the trailer, but all the rest of the dinosaurs were palette swaps of a cartoony Dilophosaurus from Jurassic Park, and they spit venom. And you collect food and fight these cartoony dinosaurs.
So those are basically the Bulborbs.
Yes, Bulborbs, but they're little. And I don't want to talk about this anymore.
All right, let's move
on. No, the T-Rex eats the cavemen. The Dilophosaurs just kind of scratch at you and spit venom. So much fossil evidence for that. Oh, my God.
Let's move on to a Kappa's Trail from Nintendo, made by Brownie Brown.
This looked kind of cool.
Yeah. You directed Kappa.
This is not the first Kappa game, though. They had one before, didn't they?
On DSiWare?
Like, I kind of feel like I have already seen this trailer. Like, I watched the trailer, and I thought, this looks very familiar.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Am I crazy? Maybe. It's possible that I'm crazy.
I mean, you are crazy, but you might be crazy. Right about this.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, basically, you just, the little Kappa on the screen, you basically just draw a path for him to move and to collect coins. And he follows the path, and then you have to avoid enemies. Yeah,
so
it's basically
Spirit Tracks or Phantom Hourglass.
Well, like, it's the kind of game that would be incredibly easy to play if you use the D-pad, but instead of using the D-pad, they make you draw a path with the stylus.
So it's just like Phantom Hourglass.
Oh, God. Someday I'm going to play that game, I promise.
No, don't do it.
I've had it forever. I've still never played it. Well, I've never played more than, like, 2 hours of it. My Zelda playthrough needs to continue one of these days, but I need to get motivation to play Oracle of Ages first. Just don't have that motivation yet. Moving on from Kappa's Trail, we have Telegraph Crosswords. The thing I said earlier about word scramblers, yeah, that thing still applies. It's a crossword. I think. I guess I didn't even look at the trailer for this. Did you, Neil?
No. I mean, it's a fucking crossword game.
Like, I would assume
I already have a crossword game on the DS, not the DSi, but...
Attention, listeners, if this is not a crossword game and we're wrong about this, please feel free to comment and call us out on it. Yeah. But
I would be shocked.
I think we're right in this one.
Telegraph Crosswords is a first-person shooter!
It's a highly evolved technical
It's actually
espionage.
A port of Gears of War.
It's a 15-hour RPG. With RTS and first-person shooter elements.
Yep.
And it is 500 points. moving on next, we have a couple of different Flips titles. This is, of course, the long, historic running series of interactive books from EA. We have Silent But Deadly and The Magic Faraway Tree.
What the fuck?
The Magic Faraway Tree.
Like, Silent But Deadly, actually, I read the little paragraph about Silent But Deadly, and it's just like, Mr. Ross has gone insane, and we need to find out what's wrong with him.
Oh, God, why?
It's almost as bad a title as Pentatentacle. But I love magical faraway tree. It's not just magical, but it is also far away.
It's not even magical, it's just the magic faraway tree.
Yeah.
Well, it's not near you, otherwise it wouldn't be magic. You don't have magic near you. You have to go somewhere else.
By the end of the game, it's just the magic tree.
It loses some of its luster.
Yeah, the title screen changes when you beat it because you got to the tree.
I kind of feel like maybe we're not in the target demographic for the Flip series.
One of these days, I might have to bite the bullet and get one of these games just to see what the fuck is up with
them. I'm kind of curious how interactive they are, because they're kind of billed as like interactive stories, but I kind of get the feeling they're basically like graphic, like really basic graphic novels, like they're picture books kind of, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I might have to get that Surviving High School game, just because that's probably the funniest paragraph I've ever read on a Nintendo press release.
I remember that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you should do that. I think you should report back.
I still like that press release where they didn't actually tell you what you do in the game.
Oh, God. Let's move on. Zach, you watched a trailer for this. How about Music on Electronic Keyboard from Abbey Light for 200 points?
This didn't look too bad. For 200 points, it's something you might pick up. It looks like a little virtual keyboard, and it has different kinds of keyboard instruments, and it has, you can create chords and record things, and you can record a kind of a bass track and then play on top of that, and it didn't look too bad. Looks
not
like
bad.
A little recording studio with a keyboard on the bottom.
It can't be worse than Easy Piano, which I still haven't put together a video review of yet, but it's coming eventually.
Well, here's the thing. You know, this DSiWare game doesn't come with a retarded little piano.
Yeah, that's
I always see Easy Piano on stores, and I weep for you.
You've seen it in stores? I never have.
Yeah.
That's actually surprising. I did not think that was going to be really widely released.
It was, apparently.
Apparently it was.
Probably the kind of thing where my local Play and Trade, they're like, oh yeah, we got in 20 copies of this Easy Piano, but you want what game? Muramasa? What the hell is that?
Yeah. Muramasa?
Oh, moving on, we have 16 Shot Shooting Watch by Hudson for 200 points.
Yeah, it's 200 points. It's from Hudson, but I don't know if anyone's familiar with Master Higgins. I forget the guy's, like, his real name, but it's basically this dude who was at Hudson back in the day who could shoot 16 shots a second or something along those lines. He could press the button 16 shots very, very quickly.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I forget what kind of, I think it's a second. No, it can't be a second. That's fucking impossible. I forget how long, but he used to be able to.
He's like a hummingbird.
Yes, click that A button very, very fast, and you can train to be like him in this game for $2.
Thanks, Hudson.
Exactly what I want to do.
I really appreciate the time you put into developing this game. I'm gonna have to go watch a trailer for that. Didn't you look for one, Zach, and you couldn't find one?
I don't think one exists. It's a shooting watch.
Nice.
200 points. Moving on to Flame Tale from Nintendo for 500 points.
This looked all right. This is Snake crossed with Breakout.
Or it's the square part of Maboshi's Arcade.
Oh.
It is basically with a few new frills.
I don't know if it looked like it was worth $5, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely, just because I didn't really like the square part of Maboshi's Arcade that much, I thought it was the weakest part of it. But, I mean, if you like the square section of Maboshi's Arcade, you should definitely get this game. And if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, go get Maboshi's Arcade. It's a really kick-ass game. It's on WiiWare. It's $8.
Okay. I may do that. Next up, we have Don't Cross the Line by Axis Games. I actually thought this one looked kind of cool. They give you the screen has sets of squares. Like, it'll have, like, two green,
colors.
Two blue, two orange.
Yep.
And you have to draw a line between the like-colored squares, and you can't cross the lines. It's basically like... I've seen puzzles like this in like a paper and pen puzzle book.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, you can make the lines curved if you want. You just got to draw some kind of a connected path between the two colored squares. And I watched, like, the first three puzzles, and they looked pretty simple, but I would have to imagine that it would get more complicated
as it goes. I mean, for $2, right? It's only a $2 game, right? That actually sounds pretty good if you're into that.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it was clean. It wasn't like messy or overproduced. It was exactly what it needed to be, which is a simple, clean, simple, clear $2 puzzle game.
Nice.
Good job on Axis for that one. Fire Panic. This is sort of like, they give you like a little, like a, not like a grid, but like a kind of a very simplistic map with streets on it and buildings, and the buildings catch on fire, and you draw a path from the fire truck to the closest building that's on fire, and you put them out as fast as you can. The buildings keep catching on fire over and over again, because that's what, you know, that's what happens when you live in a crappy DSi town. you just put them out as fast as you can. You draw a lot, you draw a path to each building as it's burning up, and I guess you just last as long as you can. It looks pretty simple, but it was only 200 points, so it could be kind of fun. My guess is it gets pretty intense. It kind of had like, you know, kind of like your maybe kind of related to like Diner Dash, where basically you're just trying to like micromanage like a spatial area as much as you can, and eventually you will lose, but the idea is to see how long you can play.
Yeah.
So that could be kind of fun. It had kind of a cool little, it looked kind of like a Phoenix Wright-ish sort of presentation in terms of the storyline. Cutscenes with dialogue and whatnot, but the game itself was pretty different. Last one is Flips. We've already talked about Flips. That is the end of 3 weeks worth of Nintendo downloads. And for the most part, it was a pretty poor lineup, I would say, sadly.
Yeah.
I expected no
there's, some... There's a few decent games in it, but there was really nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing I really expected big. Some powerhouses around E3.
Yeah, I did too, actually. Have they already released all three Donkey Kong Country games?
Yes.
Haven't they? Okay.
Okay. That's one of those ones that I played recently on Super Nintendo, like around when the Wii came out, and then when they came on a virtual console, I didn't care because I could remember playing them.
And now you'll be playing it again this holiday season.
Yeah. But I'm cool with that. The new one looks really good.
I kind of feel like the arcade version of Donkey Kong is ripe for a WiiWare remake. Like, just pretty up the graphics and make the original Donkey Kong again. There hasn't been a good update of that game.
Since there's the Donkey game... Kong 94?
Right, yeah, since that one.
Oh, it's just probably one of the best Game Boy games, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, I think, wasn't Mario vs. Donkey Kong kind of supposed to be a throwback to that?
Yeah, that's kind of like the evolution of the Donkey Kong 94
the idea.
Style.
I think, you know, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of taking their old franchises and prettying them up for the Wii download service, like with Excitebike and Contra, and, well, they didn't do Contra, but... It has been done on WiiWare quite a few times. I would actually probably be up for buying a $10 version of Donkey Kong if it had prettier graphics.
Well, did you guys see the news that Reggie admitted to the fact that they don't really do download service as well?
I thought it was Iwata who said that.
I thought it was Miyamoto and Iwata both kind of agreeing.
It was probably everyone.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you have an online strategy?
Definitely the one thing they keep on fucking up. Like, I mean, there are definitely gems on WiiWare and DSiWare, but it's kind of hard to sift
through. They're accidental.
Yeah.
Let's
move on to the retail releases.
I am sleepy. We have about a good 8 or so releases. Let's kick it off with Green Day Rock Band for Wii. This came out on June 8th. Look, you know what you're getting yourself into. You've got Green Day and you've got Rock Band. Both of these things have been around for ages. I think Green Day a little bit longer than Rock Band. So, if you buy Green Day Rock Band, you know what you're getting. So,
yeah. I gave it an 8. It's a good game. I mean, I'm not super into Green Day, but it's a good game.
I would totally be interested in this if they had any songs whatsoever from Kerplunk, which is my favorite.
That is
album
unfortunate. I loved playing through Dookie, though. That was definitely my highlight of the game.
How do they not Dookie have is... certain games, certain songs from every album?
I think they didn't have rights to anything before Dookie.
Yeah,
because
I think Green Day wasn't
label.
Really on a major label until Dookie.
Until Dookie, exactly. So, I mean, I really, really love a lot of the songs on Kerplunk, and if they had gotten them, I would probably have actually bought this, but they didn't, so, and they're not going to do any DLC, apparently.
Although there would probably be DLC on Rock Band for Green Day.
Probably,
so that's kind of the shining light. If they can ever get the rights to Kerplunk, I imagine it will show up on Rock Band.
Absolutely. Tiger Woods 11 came out on 6/8 for Wii.
We talked
about that.
We've already
talked about this. We're going to have a review up very shortly with Zach and
very shortly.
Neil.
I don't know about very shortly.
Well,
these reviews always get delayed.
Neil will have his review ready to go very shortly, and then Zach and him will team up on collaborating on that review.
We'll do
Tiger Woods 11.
Cool.
Mega Man Zero Collection, another game we talked about. That came out also on June 8th. That one will be up very soon. Buy it if you like. Buy it if you hate yourself. Self-loathing people buy this game.
James will love this game.
Doesn't he already?
Yeah, he does already. That's true.
I think he does. Toy Story 3 came out on June 15th. Is that when the movie came out, too?
The movie came out later that week. I think the...
Okay.
Go see the movie.
The movie is fantastic.
I can't wait to see the movie. But apparently, I know the DS version. I don't know exactly what's cool about that. I know it's developed by N-Space, and they have a pretty good track
record. Good work.
Yeah, and the Wii version is, I mean, I think it's kind of a like downscaled port of the 360 and PS3 version,
which apparently
isn't that bad.
I kind of feel like it shouldn't be that hard to make a Toy Story game, to be honest. It shouldn't be that hard. I mean, it lends itself well to a video game.
Yeah. The old Super Nintendo game for the first Toy Story, remember that? That was good shit.
Yeah, it was.
I never actually played that.
Platformer.
I should go do that. Kid Adventures, Sky Captain.
Which
came out on June 15th. Neil, you've talked about this one already.
Yes. I will be working on the review. I'll be cracking up the game real soon and probably have a review out sometime next week, so... Keep posted for that, guys.
Is this a video game prequel to the movie starring Jude Law?
That would be pretty fantastic if it was. No,
Sky
actually,
Captain in the World of
it's
Yesterday.
It's actually a kid themed Pilot Wings. It looks like.
Oh hey,
very awesome.
And it's
very
only
awesome.
$20, so that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
If it turns out to be good, I mean, and you really like Pilot Wings, this could be a game to pick up, and I will tell you if it turned out to be good or not very soon.
Last up, we have four releases from June 22nd. Two of them have the word Transformers in the title, one of which is the DS version of War for Cybertron, which is sort of the multi-platform Transformers game.
And it also that actually has two versions of it, Autobots and Decepticons.
Oh, really?
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then we got Cybertron Adventures for the Wii, which is, I think, what we got for the Wii in replacement of War for Cybertron, which did not come out for Wii.
I'm kind of disturbed that we got a entirely separate version.
Yeah, it's developed by Next Level Games, though, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
And they're the guys who did Punch-Out, Mario Strikers Charged, and Spider-Man Friend or Foe.
Well, that's
good. Actually a fairly decent resume right there.
Yeah.
So that could be good. Puzzle Quest 2 came out. I should be having my hands all over that game very shortly. Hopefully it'll get here in the next couple of days. And then,
so
last
first
but not
you were,
least...
Just, hold on. First you were addicted to Picross 3D...
Yes.
And now you're going to start the Puzzle Quest 2.
I didn't really love Puzzle Quest 1 as much as everyone else did. I think I kind of found the RPG elements to be not well enough done to be interesting. And at the end of the day, it was just Bejeweled. I'm kind of curious to see what I think about this one. I haven't played Puzzle Quest in a long time. Also, the first, you know, everyone knows, the first Puzzle Quest for DS was kind of buggy. And it was kind of frustrating to play. Word on the street is that the second Puzzle Quest for DS fixes a lot of those issues. So if that's the case, if they can make the barrier to play a little bit lower, a little bit easier to just pick up and play and not get annoyed by the programming problems, then I will probably actually play the crap out of it. So
yeah,
nice.
I mean,
shall
what I've
see.
Seen about it, I saw it was at PAX. It was at E3, and I saw it at a D3 event shortly after PAX, but it looks like it's not going to be as buggy, or at least that's what they say, and it looks like they've kind of just improved the way the game flows.
That's fine for me. Yeah. You know, and part of the thing that I think turned me off from Puzzle Quest is that, you know, I'm not a big RPG gamer, but one of the things I do love about RPGs is the sense of exploration. Well, that's not at Puzzle Quest. It's not in Puzzle Quest at all. They basically took all the things I don't really like about RPGs and made that the RPG part of the game. So, yeah. And I don't really know if that's the same for Puzzle Quest 2. I haven't really done a lot of reading on it. My guess is it probably is, but it'd be kind of cool if there was actually some good old fashioned exploration to be doing in this game. But we'll find out, I guess, when we play it. Last but not least, Dragon Ball Origins 2, also on June 22nd. This is another DS title.
It retcons the original game.
Yeah, it's the second Origins.
Huh. It's like, just in case you thought you knew where everyone came from in the Dragon Ball series, you probably should play the second DS game to get a better handle on it. You know, in case you know, you're a big Dragon Ball fan, you've read all the comics, you've seen all the anime, and I don't know, whatever the hell else Dragon Ball does. You don't really know how everything started until you played Dragon Ball Origins 2 on DS, for what it's worth. You think you know, but you don't.
So this is a little bit of a tangent here, but have either of you guys seen anything related to the Dragon Ball Evolution movie or the Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li movie?
I don't give a shit about either one.
I watched Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li last night. Holy shit. It is terrible. Like, I think at one point M. Bison ate a baby. Like, wow. I'm sure about it. But I think that might have happened.
Well, he hasn't got glowing energy from nowhere. He's got to stock up his energy somewhere.
Yeah, pretty sure he ate a baby.
Stem cells, man.
And you know, I saw House of the Dead in the theaters, and ever since then, I haven't really had the ambition to see a video game movie.
Why would you do that to yourself?
House of the Dead was just really something else. Like, it was really something completely on a whole other level in terms of how to ruin a movie from the word go. But
it was Uwe Boll's first video game movie.
Yeah.
Was it his first one? Oh, God. Yep. And
He went on to direct Blood Rain.
They would...
With Sir Ben Kingsley.
I loved how in that movie, when someone died, it actually showed footage from the video game, and then, like, the camera spun around their character and faded to red like they had lost a life in a video game.
Oh, my God.
Man, I never saw that movie. Now I kind of want to see it.
You should definitely see House of the Dead. Watch out for, like, the 17 pairs of boobs in the first 5 minutes.
Watching that movie.
Yeah, like, I am all over
this
movie.
It's kind of jarring to see so many boobs next to a Sega logo, but they do, in fact, have that exact thing. It's like they really knew the kind of audience they were going for in this game.
By the way, guys, Overkill 2 is happening.
Yeah, really? That's what I heard. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's what you probably heard from me.
Yeah, I know.
Because I actually kind of got the scoop on that. I was playing Lord of the Rings Aragorn's Quest, which is the developer of House of the Dead Overkills.
Because you felt sorry for them?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it looks a lot better this year, truth be told. I still need to finish writing my impressions on it, but I was pretty impressed with how Aragorn's Quest was. I ended up playing it for a half an hour. Although part of that was because I was talking to the developer from Headstrong Games, and I made a comment about how, like, oh man, I loved Overkill. He's like, well, then you might be very happy because we have a meeting with Sega later today. And I'm just like, oh shit, really? And, you know, started talking to him more. And then the next day, I went back and talked to him and was just like, oh, so how'd that meeting go? And he just had the biggest grin in the world on his face. And he was just like, you'll be very happy.
That's awesome.
That's great. Overkill 2 is pretty much a go. So,
I hope they clean up the look, but otherwise, they can't do anything wrong with it.
Apparently, we'll also be going to, it'll also be coming to Move as well, and I think they might be porting the first one to Move, but I'm not sure about that.
That's Dead Space.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll buy that. Overkill's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, really is. That's a fantastic game. I should go play that tonight.
Hell yeah.
It's a fantastic game. If it weren't for the fact that I've actually played it through recently, I would probably be doing the same.
I think I've played through the first half of that game with about six different people.
Yeah, it's just I need to play
through the director's cut.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, that's some nice, fresh news for you on the newscast. You know, we don't get to break news very often because podcasting isn't exactly the ideal format for breaking news, but there you go, breaking news.
We busted that news.
It's one of, like, the four scoops I've gotten in my my career as a newscaster.
Your illustrious career, yes.
I think one of my other ones, the fact that Flip's Twisted World was delayed till September and why it was delayed.
Huge.
There was no Madden coming to DS. That was a scoop. And then Conduit confirmed having no local multiplayer.
Right. That was important. Right, I like that one. Yeah. Conduit 2, baby.
It's going to have local multiplayer. That actually looked fucking awesome at E3, by the way.
Yeah.
Looked
better
than
the first game.
Yeah, a lot better than the first game.
You know, I saw Conduit on sale at Fred Meyer for $20, and I said, it's still too much.
I think, Andy, didn't you get it for like 12?
Yeah, and that's played it about 2 hours so I could talk about it on RFN, and I haven't gone back to it yet.
Yeah.
I actually have it out, because I kind of want to go back and at least play a little bit of it, just because after seeing Conduit 2.
Does Conduit 1 have any co-op?
No.
That's too
bad.
Dude,
Conduit 2, I mean, if they deliver on what they're promising, it's going to be a great game. But I don't think that's really the time for saying that right now. We could talk about that after we wrap this bitch up.
Excellent. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in to this oversized 3-week post-E3 version of Newscast. I know you've probably heard enough about E3 already, so I can promise you, next time you listen to the newscast, there'll probably be not a whole lot of E3 talk on it. And that's all we got for you. Let's go ahead and close this out for NWR Newscast. I am Andy Gergen. And then
I'm
what's your name?
Miller.
Yeah, here's
I'm
Zach
Neil
Miller.
Rodahan, and you should subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review and do all that other cool stuff. Because,
follow us on the Twitters, twitter.com/NWRNewscast. Leave us a review on iTunes. Email us newscast@NintendoWorldReport.com.
You can follow myself on Twitter at NWR_Neil.
And then I am NWR_DrewNG.
Yeah.
And Zach is not on Twitter.
I don't see the point. I have a Facebook account.
I have. They're the same thing. You're doing it right. You really are doing it right, Zach.
I do what I can because I don't know any better.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank
Good
you.
Night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.